Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
So this morning, I believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, yeah? And so the title of my message this morning, if you're taking notes, is Break the Cycle. Break the Cycle. So before we get into the Word, we're just going to quickly pray. Lord God, I just want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for the opportunity to share your word, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that every eye would be open and every ear, Lord God, would hear what you would have said to them this morning. I pray, Lord God, that the word going out would go out powerfully, Lord God. That, Father God, it would touch hearts and lives, Lord God. It would meet your people where they're at, Lord Jesus. And that, Father, you would have your way in their life. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. And it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. And God granted his request. You know, it's so interesting that Jabez doesn't get a mention in the Bible at all apart from this point. And I think the reason that Jabez gets a mention is because it says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Yeah. Another thing that I find interesting is that it says that Jabez's mother named him Jabez because she gave birth to him in pain. I think that's strange. Just to highlight that, I gave birth to him in pain. Because generally, you know, childbirth, there's pain. Yeah? There's definitely going to be some pain during childbirth. I've never heard of a story of a woman in labor or going through her contractions, you know, just filing her nails, you know, ordering a latte, seeing what's on the lunch menu and all that sort of stuff. No, they're busy because they're in pain. You know, I've witnessed firsthand the pain that a woman goes through in pregnancy, because when my wife was going through labor with our first two kids, she missed the window where she was able to have the epidural. She wasn't happy. And let me tell you, that was a very interesting time for me. Just looking back, I was like, what is going on here? Because it didn't matter what I said, I couldn't console her. Yeah? Because the pain was crazy. And man, let me just say, just let me help you out. If you're ever experiencing pain, don't ever compare it to the pain of a woman in childbirth. Can I get an amen, women? Yeah, because it's not going to go well. And so during this time, I was so happy that the doctor gave me a heads up. He told me that there's going to be different stages during childbirth. And he told me about the physical stages. Yeah, that's great. But most importantly, he told me about the emotional stages. And so one of the stages is the irrational stage. And I was so glad that he told me about this irrational stage, because he was saying that when a woman is going through that much pain, she says some stuff and she does some stuff that just is completely out of character. And you know what? Don't take offense to it. It's okay. Yeah. And so I took that on board. And once again, it was very interesting to watch. And so it didn't matter what I said. I couldn't tell my wife Louisa the blessing and benefit of being able to go through childbirth naturally. I reckon I would have had anything that was close to her thrown at me, yeah? Because it just wouldn't have gone down well. But you know what? That was to be expected. Because pain goes along with childbirth. But here we have Jabez's mum. And she says that, you know, she names her son Jabez because she bore him in pain. But I believe the pain that she was experiencing was beyond that of a normal childbirth. Perhaps there was pain going on in her life before she was even pregnant. Perhaps she had been going through disappointment after disappointment, facing discouragement after discouragement. Perhaps her negative experiences in life had become so constant and so common that it sort of became a part of who she was. And she couldn't imagine a life or a future being any different. You know, I believe that Jabez's mother couldn't see a reality beyond her pain, because she decided to project her pain onto her son. Because she named her son Jabez, which means pain. You know, you got to understand, in biblical times, there is so much power in a name, in the meaning behind a name, because a name would be a prophetic declaration, yeah? It would be a prophetic statement speaking into that person's future and declaring what kind of life they would live. And so usually, that would be consistent with their character. But why is that? Because there is power in a name. There is so much power in a name. You know, the other day I was speaking to my kids and I was telling my daughter Alicia about the story behind how we named her. And so it's an interesting story because I didn't really realize that you could have a boy or a girl. Apparently that's 50-50 chance, yeah? And so when it came to looking at names, baby names, I was only looking at boys' names because I was adamant I was going to have a boy first. And so we found a name that Louise and I liked and we loved the meaning behind it. And the meaning is the noble one. And so for me, I just felt like this was a real God thing. Well, you know what? This child is going to be the noble one. But the problem was we found that we're going to have a girl. And it wasn't the kind of name that's good for a boy or a girl. So that sort of threw a spanner in the works. And so over the next couple of months, Louisa and I, we could not sort of come into agreement on a name. She liked some names, I hated them. You know, I liked some names and she hated them. And then there was one day I was driving home from work and I put on the radio and Alicia Keys comes on. And I'm listening to her and I'm thinking, this girl is on fire, yeah? And I'm thinking, wow, this name Alicia, this is a really nice name. And so I go home and I tell my wife, I say, hey, hon, what do you think about Alicia? She goes, ooh, I like that. That's pretty good. And so we looked up what the name Alicia means. And the name Alicia means the noble one. Yeah. And so we told Alicia the story behind her name and the meaning behind it. And you should have seen her. She was so pleased with herself. She was like walking around the house and be like, I'm the noble one. I'm the noble child. She's like pushing her brother out the way in the process. Like, I'm the noble child. And you know what? It was so great to see, you know, her just being built up like that, just understanding the meaning behind her name. But also it makes me just wonder, for Jabez growing up, knowing the meaning behind his name, how he would have felt. Could you imagine what his self-worth would have been like? Knowing that his name means pain, that any time something is going wrong in his world or going wrong around him, that he would be like, I'm the cause of this because my name means pain. He's got older brothers, he's got other brothers, you know what? They're probably just every time something went wrong, it's Jabez's fault. And you know, sometimes you hear that stuff long enough that you start to believe it. Sometimes you think that you're destined for this name, that he was destined for pain, you know, But what I find is that when it comes to Jabez, Jabez didn't want to accept that. Yeah. He didn't want to accept that. Yeah, so good. Because I believe that the enemy, he wants to link your dysfunction with your identity. Yeah, I believe that he is a liar. I believe that it says in John 10:10 that he's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know what? Jabez could have really accepted his label and accepted his deficiency, but he didn't do that, you know, because maybe he understood what was going on here. Maybe he could see there was a spiritual reality going on here, you know, because the enemy wants to steal your value and create in you a deep belief that you're not worthy of good things. He wants to take you to a place where you stop believing that breakthrough is even a possibility. Because when you get to that place, you'll find that you keep tripping over the same thing time and time and time again. And if the enemy can convince you that your inward battles are permanently set in stone, then it won't be long before you start to accept your deficiencies and you start to accept your dysfunctional behavior. And worst of all, you start to make friends with self-sabotaging thinking. Why? Because you won't attempt to challenge something if you've already predetermined that it cannot change. No one wants to fight a losing battle. No one wants to fight a losing battle. So sometimes it can be so much easier to take our issues and put them in the too hard basket and just say, you know what? I'm not going to challenge it. I'm just going to accept it because it's like that and that's just the way it is. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, I've always been overweight. I've always had anxiety. It's like that and that's just the way it is. You know, I've always had mental health issues. It's like that and that's just the way it is. You know, I've never had much confidence growing up. I've always been the person that lagged behind. It's like that and that's just the way it is. I've always had those inherited health issues. A lot of times we blame things and we say they're inherited. Because it's like that, and that's just the way it is. Because if we can link our deficiencies with our identity, then it's very hard to challenge that because it's like that, and that's just the way it is. Yeah? You know, but I believe that, you know, when we get to that point, we've basically said that what the way things are, it can't change. It can't change. And when you predetermine that change is not a possibility, you actually close the door to God working in that area. But I'm here to tell you that with God, anything can change. Anything can change. It says in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, that all things, turn with, just say all things. All things are possible to him who believes. And so right now, I want to give you permission. Not that you really need it anyway. I want to give you permission to dream again. I want to give you permission to hope again. I want to give you permission to believe that all things are possible. I want to give you permission to say, you know what? I can break this cycle. I can move this mountain. I can open this door, you know? I want to give you permission to believe that God is the God that brings families back together, that he heals broken hearts. You know, he can make a way where there seems to be no way. He can create new pathways. He's a creative God. He can have creative ways to bring a solution to your issue and to your cycle. But you know what? Sometimes we get caught up trying to work out how God's going to do it. Yeah. How are you going to do it, God? Tell me how you're going to do it, and then I'll believe. Tell me how you're going to do it. You know what? There's no faith in that. We're called to live by faith and not by sight. When he tells you how, there's no faith. We just got to believe. We don't have to worry about the how. We just got to believe that God is able. He is able, and he can do what he says he's going to do. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us." Yeah. Some translations say, according to his great power that is at work within us. Yeah. You know, I just want you to know that God is for you. Some of you may have walked into this place believing that God is against you, that he's not on your side, but God is for you. He wants you to win. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to do well. That's something, if you don't believe that God is for you, it's going to be very, very hard to accept his goodness and his promises and everything that he has for you. Yeah? But I know Jabez growing up, really, he was set up to lose. He really was set up to lose. From his birth, his name meant pain. His destiny meant pain. His destiny didn't speak anything positive. He was set up to lose. But instead of accepting that, instead of sort of just saying, that, you know, I'll go along with this, he had enough. And you know, I believe that sometimes we have to come to a point where we say, I've had enough. You know, because what you tolerate, you generate. And what you permit, you promote. And if you keep tolerating your dysfunction, if you keep permitting that behavior, if you keep permitting that mindset, if you keep going around the same merry-go-round, nothing will change. But if you say, enough, I've had enough. No longer will this rule me. No longer will this be my master. No longer will this be my deficiency. No longer will I live with this. I have had enough. Come to a point where you hate the current version that is holding you back. Because unless you dislike it, you're not going to want to move beyond it. Yeah? And so when you get to that point, you actually are primed for breakthrough. You're primed for breakthrough. I'm not saying hate who you are. I'm saying hate what is holding you back. Yeah, I'm not saying hate who you are, just to be very, very clear. Hate what is holding you back, because what until you dislike it, until you like this, you identify this is the very thing that is stopping me from moving forward, then you're not going to want to get rid of it. You're not going to want to create breakthrough in that area, yeah? And so if you're taking notes, I just want to highlight some things that Jabez did in the way that he responded to his circumstances and how he responded to his name and how he responded to his life. And got his breakthrough, how he broke the cycle. So, are you with me? Okay, so it's all going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, and we're just going to unpack this verse bit by bit. So it says that Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. You know, sometimes we just need to cry out to God. We just need to cry out to God. You know, a little while ago, maybe a few months ago, I was sleeping, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and then all I heard was, Dad, Dad, Dad! In a really, really high-pitched voice. And so, I don't know if it's a dad thing or now I've become a light sleeper, but I don't even remember getting the covers and pulling them off. I was on my feet, like a ninja. Yeah, so I was just ready to go. And then I just ran straight into my daughter's room and I'm like, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong? And she hands me her drink bottle and she goes, can you fill this up for me? Really? She didn't mind. It just made me think, When was the last time you were so desperate for some living water that you cried out desperately for it, that you were just like, you know, I don't care if it's inconvenient, I don't care if it doesn't make sense, I'm just going to cry out to the one that can provide it for me, yeah? Because let me tell you, you know, in the natural, yes, you could have gotten the water herself. But in the spiritual, if you go to your dad and try and get your water yourself, it's not going to be the same. You've got to get it coming from God himself. He's the one that has living water. Everything else is an impersonation. Everything else will not fill you the way God will fill you. But you know what? Sometimes we just need to cry out to God. We've got to get desperate. Desperate. It says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Come on. All your heart, yeah? All your heart. You know, a lot of people, they undervalue the power of prayer because they've become so familiar with it. Because isn't prayer just what we do when we're like, you know, we're being the good Christian thing, you know, we're just saying grace before a meal, or you know what, someone's got an issue and we go, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, and then we just never do it? Is that what prayer is? Is that what prayer is meant to be? Or is prayer meant to be a weapon? Is prayer meant to be powerful? Do we identify prayer as being powerful, that it changes spiritual realities? Do we understand that prayer is an earthly license for divine inclusiveness? Did you know that prayer can break strongholds? You're like, what's a stronghold? A stronghold is anything that has a stronghold on you. It's not too hard. Have you ever tried to get breakthrough in an area, but you can't because it seems like something is holding you back? It's like you try and move forward, but it seems like it's like something has its hand on you, and no matter how hard you try in your own strength, it doesn't seem to work. That's a stronghold. And I believe that, you know, at times, if we were to look at our lives, we would all have elements where it's a stronghold. And I believe that we're not called to live with strongholds. We're not called to accept strongholds. We're called to shake them off, yeah? And I believe if you would pray, if you call out to God, then he'll shake off that stronghold. He'll remove that stumbling block that you keep tripping over time and time again. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." You know, right now, I want you to predetermine what are areas in your life, what are strongholds that you want to evict. You want to say your time is up, your lease is up. It's not, no longer do you live here, no longer are you welcome here. It's time to get rid of this. It's time to get rid of this stronghold. It's time to get rid of this deficiency. It's time to get rid of this habit. It's time to get rid of the very thing that you know is holding you back. I'm not going to permit it anymore. I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. I've had enough. I've had enough. We got to get to that point, I really believe. Are you with me? Okay, the second point that Jabez uses is, it says, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory." So have faith to take hold of your inheritance as a child of God. You know, when my kids are hungry and go to the fridge, they don't necessarily need to ask me for permission because they have a right to. Plus, I've gotten rid of all the junk food. So it's open. Open for the business. So they can go and grab whatever they want because it's entitled to them, it's theirs. What's mine is theirs. And it's the same with God. He has so much for you. You know, what I love about Jabez is that he's bold. He just asks. Sometimes we have not because we ask not, yeah? You know, why not ask? Why not cry out to God? Why not declare that he's the one that has what you need, yeah? It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then it goes on to talking about how we are called as believers. We are adopted. We are redeemed, yeah? We have been sealed with his Holy Spirit. You know, so many blessings. Every spiritual blessing belongs to us. We have access to. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." Some of you, you need your eyes, the eyes of your heart to be opened. Because there's so many great things before you, but maybe you don't see it. You know, the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What an inheritance. So much good stuff there. And it just reminds me of how sometimes it can be so sad that some people have access to blessing, but they don't use it because they don't even know it's there. And it reminds me of this story of that I heard a few years back of this man who had a garage sale, and he was just clearing out all his junk. And so there was a guy that brought seven paint tins, and he just like, I don't know, let's just say it was $15. I don't know how much it costs, but he was just getting rid of it. He didn't even bother to look if they were good or not. The guy's like, yeah, I'll just grab it. So the guy buys these paint tins, and he comes home and he starts to open them up. And he opens up the first one, and it's filled with gravel. He's like, oh, whatever. Opens the second one, gravel. Opens the third one, gravel. And then he starts to open the others, and they're filled with cash. And now, I can't remember the exact amount, but it was at least between $200,000 to $300,000 worth of cash. You know, how good for that guy. Awesome. He had a great day, didn't he? But how sad for the other person who had these paint tins, who had this blessing available, but didn't even know it was there. He was not able to take the blessing and make it something that's useful in his life. And I believe sometimes we're like this. We have so many blessings just in this book available to us. So many promises available to us. So many declarations available to us. But we don't necessarily open it up and look for ourselves. And I want to encourage you, if you don't know the promises that God has for you, open up the Word. Open up His Word and see the great things that it says about you. It says that you are more than a conqueror. It says that you are called to be the head and not the tail. Yeah, above and not beneath. It says in John 10:10 that Jesus has come that you may have life and life to the fullest. You know what? I can get excited about that. Can anyone get excited about that? But just a little disclaimer. The way that God chooses to bless you and enlarge your territory may not look the way you envisioned it. Because God's blessings still need to coincide with His timing and His will. You know, sometimes I get it. Sometimes God's blessings and God's promises don't match your reality. And the reason being is that you look in the Word and you see what God has for you, but that is fully developed. God says, you know, you're going to be the head and not the tail. More than a conqueror. That is when that blessing has come to fruition. But it doesn't outline the individual process that you're going to have to take to attain that blessing and attain that promise. And so sometimes what we do is we look at everyone else. We look at their territory. We look at their blessing. And we're like, why can't I have that? Pray for it. Do what you do. Pray for it. Ask. It doesn't hurt to ask. Pray for it. But just know that the process may be different for you, because there's no such thing as a cookie cutter destiny. No such thing. And so God has a plan for you. He has a way for you. So stop looking at other people's way and just know that Jesus is the way, that He has it for you. And you know what? Doesn't matter how He's going to do it. Just remember, He's able. Yeah, He's able. You know, just to practically put it into perspective, you know, I'm not a gardener. I'll never be a gardener because I like the fruit. I like the harvest, but I don't like the process. I can barely mow my own lawn because I just dislike it so much. But for me to have a garden, and just imagine our lives are like a garden, this would be the process. First, we have to dig the hard soil. And then we have to get rid of the weeds. And then we've got to put new soil down. And then we have to get the seeds that would be right for the season, yeah? And then we've got to put the seeds down in the ground. And then we've got to water the seeds. And then I've got to keep my dogs away from the garden. And then I've got to water seeds some more. And then I have to wait. 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 Because you know what? Just because you plant in the morning doesn't mean the harvest is going to be ready in the evening. It just doesn't work that way. And so some of you might be discouraged, and some of you might feel neglected because you feel like God hasn't got your back, because where is my harvest? But God is saying it's not time yet, because you want to reap the harvest in the wrong season. You got to go on the process. God's promises are yes and amen. God says, yeah, it's yes. The way we go about it, that's our amen. Our response is our amen. Yeah? You know, a fruitful life is part of your inheritance, and you can go after it, but the quickest way to take hold of the blessings of God is to follow the process. This may mean that God will change your heart before He changes your circumstances. We're really good at saying, God, change my circumstances. But let me tell you, if you want real change, say, God, change my heart. Do a work in here. Because out of the overflow of the heart, Yeah? Guard your heart, for out of it, everything you do flows. So if you allow God to change this first, you'd be surprised how your circumstances seem so different. Okay, the third key that allowed Jabez to break the cycle. It says in 1 Chronicles, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Let your hand be with me." In other words, align your life to Jesus. Align your life to Jesus. You know, when you go through life and your life isn't aligned to Jesus, you're in control. You're saying, "I can do it. I've got this." And anything that gets in the way, nah. Anything that's not part of your plan, nah. But when you align your life to Jesus, you are declaring that Jesus can do a better job of directing your life than you can. When you align your life to Jesus, you're saying, "You know what? I am not competent or capable to have the solution and the answers to every single possible problem that I could face. I need someone that knows the way. I need someone that can open the doors. I need someone that can do what I can't." And let me tell you, it takes the pressure off. I need someone that's going to love me despite my weaknesses. I need someone that's going to forgive me no matter my mistakes. I need someone that's going to believe in me at my lowest point. And let me tell you, that is Jesus. You don't have to have it all together before coming into alignment with Jesus. You just need to be willing to take him on the journey. You just need to be willing to surrender your life and just acknowledge that my way is flawed, but God's way is perfect. And so Jesus came and he died on a cross to provide access so that we can have an alignment with him, so that our life can be aligned to his. And you know what? If you would accept him as your Lord and Savior, then everything can change. A lot of people, they're happy to accept Jesus as their Savior, but they're not willing to accept him as their Lord. You're accepting Jesus as your Savior. Yes, says, "Yes, I acknowledge you, Jesus. I acknowledge you that you died on the cross. I acknowledge you that you will provide forgiveness of sins for me, and you will provide a way to heaven," but that's it. That's just the Savior part. That happens in an instant. But if you want to live a life aligned to God, then you need to make him Lord. And to make him Lord means